Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, June 15th, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Local Teachers Get Their Hands Dirty Through Ag Education, by Julia Evelsizer. Bloomington. Instead of checking grammar or solving math equations, several Twin City teachers spent last week petting pigs and walking cornfields. McLean County Ag in the Classroom hosted a week of educational field trips for the 11 local teachers as part of the Summer Ag Institute. The teachers, most who teach general education classes, explored ways to weave agriculture into regular lesson plans with some help from STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We like to give teachers background information about what agriculture is doing in our county. Then we continually give them ideas about how to bring those learnings into the classroom and connect it to their subject, said Bridget Caldwell, Ag in the Classroom, Ag Literacy Coordinator for McLean County. The group toured Dean's Bacon and Beef in Leroy, O'Rourke's Farmers Market Farm in Ellsworth, Stone Ridge Dairy in Mansfield, and One Earth Energy Ethanol Plant in Gibson City. The teachers also learned how drones are used in farming and visited Hy-Vee in Bloomington to read food labels. We have to make learning fun for teachers so they can make it fun for students, said Caldwell. Agriculture is in every part of your life, from plastic to candles to gasoline and the food we eat. As teachers, we're always looking for new ways to help students make those connections. Audrea Carter, fourth grade teacher at Tawanda Elementary School, said the program made her realize how much farmers have to stay informed. There's so much work that goes into continuing education for the farmer, whether it's in engineering or staying on top of regulations. They use a lot of math, science, and engineering, said Carter. She said many young students believe food comes straight from the grocery store, and she wants to change the way her class views agriculture. It's important for them to understand every career requires constant education, said Carter. Tracy Hitchens said her early learning students at Sugar Creek Elementary School in Normal are really into science. Learning more about agriculture is right up their alley, and now I'll be able to introduce them to more. I'd love to bring more gardening into our classroom. I want them to know there's more out there, and they can pick local and healthy options, said Hitchens. Lisa Eaton, fourth grade teacher at Delavan Elementary School, said that it's easy to forget how little most students understand about agriculture. It's a basic understanding we take for granted, and sometimes I forget that as a teacher. I want to reintroduce agriculture to my students because it is so important, said Eaton. Beyond the summer program, Caldwell said educators can utilize materials and teaching programs through the Ag in the Classroom organization. Connecting ag to regular curriculum is simple, said Caldwell. We give lessons to math teachers for students to plot their own farm acreage. They can use statistics to determine how many seeds are needed to fill a field. She said PE teachers also use the program to educate students about wheat, gluten, and other nutrition. There are so many careers in agriculture, especially related to math and science. It's all incorporated, said Caldwell. Our goal is to help kids, as well as adults, understand how ag touches us all every day. To learn more about the program, teachers can contact their county agricultural literacy coordinator at www.agintheclassroom.org. The next story is entitled, Proposed Washington Street Bike Lanes Head to Council, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. The Bloomington Planning Commission voted Wednesday in favor of a proposal to add bicycle lanes on Washington Street after listening to 20 people comment during a two-hour-long public hearing. Commission members voted 7-3 to recommend amending the city's 2015 Bicycle Master Plan to add Washington Street from Lee Street to St. Joseph Drive. The final decision will be made by the City Council, possibly at its July 10th meeting. During the hearing, 13 people spoke in favor of the amendment. They included representatives from Connect Transit, West Bloomington Housing Collaborative, Friends of the Constitution Trail, and Bike Blow No. Bloomington Normal YMCA also sent a letter in support of the measure. City staff collected feedback about the proposal via several public meetings, emails, letters, phone calls, and monitoring the use of two temporary pop-up bike lanes drawn using chalk paint on Washington Street between Kreutzer and Mercer Avenues. Of the 217 total responses as of noon on Wednesday, 143 indicated support of the amendment, said Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karch. The city also received a petition signed by 22 people opposing the amendment. The signatures were from people living on the 1,200 to 1,700 blocks of East Washington. The inclusion of Washington Street in the Bicycle Master Plan would create a large rectangle of roadways already included in the Master Plan that would allow bicyclists to get to major destinations like Illinois Wesleyan University, downtown Bloomington, State Farm, Eastland Mall, and two hospitals, said Karch. The commission also voted 9-1 to recommend the council review the impact of losing two traffic lanes on Washington Street at the intersections of Mercer Avenue and Regency Drive in order to add bicycle lanes. Taking out two lanes without making provisions for turning is what commission member Jay Ballmer said prompted him to add that measure for council review. Commission Chairman David Stanzak voted against adding Washington Street to the Bike Master Plan, saying he was concerned that the loss of two traffic lanes at those intersections and several others farther west would create traffic congestion, resulting in public safety issues. Stanzak also did not like the possible loss of 19 parking spaces downtown to accommodate the addition of bike lanes. I supported it because I see as a resident of the area people using their bicycles to commute to and from work, said Commission Member Kevin Seuss, who lives on Kreutzer Avenue near Washington Street. He disagreed with some neighbors who expressed their concerns about the street not being safe for bicyclists because of the amount of traffic on the east-west arterial and the speed at which traffic travels through the area. As a parent of two children, having them cross Washington is a safety concern to me, said Seuss. Research shows that this type of infrastructure helps calm traffic. Traffic calming is good for pedestrians, but the bicyclists will be safer as well. In answering Commission Member Justin Boyd's question about whether bike lanes would hinder emergency vehicles on Washington Street, Bloomington Fire Chief Brian Moore said in a written response that he doesn't see the bike lanes having a significant impact as long as public education about distracted driving continues. Safety concerns expressed were about collisions that could result from vehicles backing out of driveways, bicycles having to use the traffic lane where vehicles are parked in the shared parking bicycle lane, and issues with the narrower driving lanes, said Karch. Others said different routes, including on Grove Street, already exist for bicyclists in the area and that they thought the project wastes city funds. The next article is headlined, Judge Extends No Contact Order Against Parent, by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. A normal woman said she will appeal a McLean County judge's decision that bars her from being in contact with a Parkside Elementary School teacher for the next 2 years. Associate Judge Brian Goldrick on Wednesday approved a 2-year no-contact order against Darlene Hedrick, who made threats the court considered severe enough to extend the order, originally approved in April. After receiving the court papers, Hedrick, who already had been warned several times by Goldrick about her behavior during the hour-long hearing, called a witness who testified on behalf of the teacher a liar and then shouted to the court that the case wasn't over. I will be filing an appeal, she shouted at the teacher. The teacher has not been identified by the pantograph because she is the victim of an alleged stalking. After Hedrick stormed out, Goldrick instructed her attorney, Hal Jennings, to have his client return to the courtroom. You have just been served with papers ordering you to have no contact with her, and your comments could be interpreted by this court as a violation, he told her. Hedrick then repeated her promise to file an appeal. You have every right to do that, Goldrick said, but you cannot communicate with the person listed on the order in any form. Hedrick is the guardian of a third grader who was in the teacher's class. In January, the child left her boots in the elementary school gym, according to testimony at Wednesday's hearing. The teacher did not allow the student to retrieve them after they returned to class, and the child went home without them. Later that night, Hedrick left a message on the school's voicemail that was played in court. She is on my hit list, Hedrick said on the voicemail. Hedrick testified that she meant for the teacher to be fired. Shannon Kosar, a receptionist at Unit 5, testified that in April, Hedrick came to the district office to speak to an administrator and file a complaint because the teacher had called the Department of Child and Family Services about concerns she had about the student. Kosar testified that Hedrick made another threat at the time. Kosar testified that Hedrick stated, "If they don't remove my baby from her class, I will kill her." Hedrick denied making the statement. The teacher, however, said the comment made her fear for her safety, and after talking with administrators, they filed a police report. Hedrick is barred from being within 500 feet of the teacher, her home, and the school where she works. Hedrick has since moved and said her child will be attending school in a different district next year. We are happy with the ruling and glad that the judge listened to the evidence and issued the order, said the teacher's attorney, Tristan Bullington. Unit 5 is not a party to the legal action filed by the teacher. However, several Unit 5 teachers and administrators were in attendance at the hearing. The next item is entitled, Man Arrested in Robbery. Police: Suspect Took Undisclosed Amount of Cash at PNC Bank. By Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. An Indiana man is in custody for a Wednesday morning robbery at the PNC Bank, 2217 West Market Street, on the city's west side. Police were called to the bank at 11:25 a.m., where witnesses reported a man entered the bank unarmed and demanded money from an employee. The suspect took an undisclosed amount of cash and fled east on foot. There were no injuries reported. Officers arrived in the area and were given additional information that included a still photo taken from a video camera and vehicle information. Officers released that information to other police agencies, and a short time later, the suspect's vehicle was spotted on Interstate 74 near Leroy by an Illinois state trooper. A traffic stop was made, and the suspect was taken into custody. The McLean County Sheriff's Department and Leroy Police Department assisted. The 31-year-old man is from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and is expected in McLean County Court Thursday or Friday to face formal charges and have his bond set. He is being held in McLean County Jail. The pantograph does not name suspects in such cases until formal charges are filed. The investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information is asked to contact Bloomington Police at 309-434-2259 or Detective Steve Moreland at smoreland@cityblm.org. The next story is entitled, Salvation Army Names New Corps Officers, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The Salvation Army of McLean County Corps Officers, who oversaw growth of Salvation Army services that led to construction of an emergency assistance building, have been named officers for the DePlain Corps. The appointment of Captain Paul James and his wife, Captain D.J. James, to the DePlain Corps from McLean County was announced Wednesday. Their last day in Bloomington will be June 25th. I never looked at any transition within the Salvation Army as a promotion, Paul James said, in the Corps Community Building, 611 West Washington Street. I've also been in East St. Louis, Chicago, and Omaha, and each community is near and dear to my heart. But being so close to the people here, it's hard to leave, said James of Bloomington. Major Gary Felton, Quad City Coordinator for the Salvation Army, was named Corps Officer for McLean County. Lieutenant Eddie Williams, a recent graduate of the Salvation Army USA Central Territory College for Officer Training in Chicago, was named Assistant Corps Officer. Salvation Army services in McLean County include Pathway of Hope, rent and utility assistance, food pantry and case management, Safe Harbor Homeless Shelter, which includes job search assistance and case management, after school program, youth character building, summer camp, and Christmas food baskets and toys. Director of Development Angie Fulton estimated that Salvation Army assisted 4,000 people last year. The agency has about 25 full and part-time employees, thousands of volunteers, and a $1.6 million yearly operating budget. This has been a great place for us and a wonderful place to raise a family, said James, 40. Their three children are ages 5, 7, and 8. While opening in April 2016 of an emergency assistance building was a highlight, James said, "What matters is the lives that we touched and helped, and in some cases, rescued." Felton, 57, has been a Salvation Army officer in several communities for 33 years. He has been in the Quad Cities for the past 7 years, coordinating Salvation Army social services, fundraising, and public relations for that region. During his 7 years in the Quad Cities, he pulled the Salvation Army out of debt and oversaw renovation of a 100-bed homeless shelter. "I have heard only positive things about the Jameses," Felton said. "I'm excited about coming to Bloomington Normal." And a sidebar tells us fans needed. The Salvation Army of McLean County, which began its annual fan giveaway to people without air conditioning on Monday, is nearly out of fans, Development Director Angie Fulton said Wednesday. The fan program is scheduled to run through Friday. Donations of fans or money to buy fans are being accepted 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Corps Community Center, 611 West Washington Street, Bloomington. And here's a story entitled, "More Road Closures to Begin Thursday." County Highway 5, Illinois 9, to undergo repairs for 2 months. By Derek Bay. Bloomington. Two McLean County highways will close for 2 months of construction coordinated by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Illinois 9 is closed starting Thursday between County Roads 3200 East and 3300 East near Arrowsmith, and County Highway 5 is closed starting Friday at Sangamon Creek north of Saybrook, according to IDOT releases. Both closures are through August 15th. Drivers who take Route 9 in that area are asked to take Route 165. County Highway 5 drivers have no specified detour. The existing box culvert carrying Illinois 9 is scheduled to be replaced. The depth of the structure, combined with the width of the road at this location, will not allow the road to remain open with staged traffic, said Kelsey Gursky, Communications Services Bureau Chief for IDOT, of that project. Of the Saybrook project, Gursky said, "The structure carrying Highway 5 is scheduled for a superstructure replacement. The condition of the existing box beams will not allow the road to remain open with staged traffic." A third local project, on Oakland Avenue over Interstates 55 and 74 in southwest Bloomington, is slated to wrap up this week after 6 weeks of work. The existing bridge deck was hydroscarified and will be overlaid with latex concrete, Gursky said. Given the nature of the work and the time frame to work in, it was determined to close the road. Other local road closures include Lexington East Road, which is closed to September 8th for replacement of Roselands 2 Bridge, and Gillam Road west of Downs, which is closed until mid-September for replacement of Trent Bridge. Tawanda Barnes Road from Route 9 to Fort Jesse Road is also experiencing temporary closures for resurfacing this summer. All three are McLean County projects. Linden Street is also closed north of Emerson Street in Bloomington to December 1st for bridge work. The next story is headlined, State Payment Delay Triggers Loan for Vocational System, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. With no sign of when the state will pay money owed to the McLean-DeWitt Regional Vocational System, the District 87 School Board approved a loan of $244,000 to the system. District 87 serves as the administrative agent for the Regional Vocational System, which provides career and technical education to students from 16 participating schools. The district has had an agreement with the system for more than 20 years, authorizing an interfund loan of up to $70,000 to ensure the system could maintain a positive balance in its operating funds. But because the state is so far behind in paying money owed to the vocational system, it needs a loan estimated at $244,000 this year. Both Tom Fraser, director of the vocational system, and David Wood, District 87's chief financial and legal officer, said they are confident the system will eventually get the money. It's only a matter of when. The vocational system has vouchers that have been approved and are awaiting payment by the controller. Among reasons for their confidence is that the state risks having to return money to the federal government if it does not meet its obligations to provide this funding, explained Fraser. Under the agreement, the vocational system will repay the loan in full from the money received from the state. While supporting the loan, Superintendent Barry Riley expressed frustration that such a loan was needed because of the state's failure to meet its obligations in a timely manner. The reality is that District 87 has been a good steward to build fund balances to be able to do this, said Riley. Not every district can do that. Because its money comes from grants that must be spent within a specified time, the vocational system cannot build up fund balances, explained Fraser. The Bloomington Area Career Center, which is also affected by the state delay, has built up balances to take care of the cash flow because it also receives tuition money, which can be carried over from year to year, he said. Speaking of the continuing budget impasse, Riley said most school district associations are putting their support behind Senate Bill 1, which has passed the Senate and House, but has not yet been sent to the governor. Opponents have criticized the bill for its focus on Chicago public schools, but Riley said, "I think it's worthy of our support. We shouldn't expect to get everything we want." Riley said the bill deserves support because the evidence-based funding model in the bill is the way to go. In another matter, Riley expressed concern that the city of Bloomington is considering another tax increment financing district, this time for a development that would include the former Bloomington Junior High School, which the district sold long ago. Riley said, "Our preference is for shorter-term incentives that phase out after a few years, rather than long-term property tax abatements. The vast majority of our local funding comes from local property taxes," said Riley. "That's our bread and butter." And here is another school board story headlined, Unit 5 OK's Budget, Deal for Virtual Classrooms, by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Virtual learning is coming to McLean County Unit 5 classrooms. The Unit 5 School Board approved a $170,880 contract Wednesday with ZD Audiovisual Company for a virtual classroom project to be implemented at Normal West and Normal Community High Schools this fall. The project will be funded through the district's Capital Projects Fund. ZD, based in Normal, will install and maintain high-resolution screens, motion-detecting visual equipment, and motion-detecting sound equipment in one classroom at each high school. This is a high-quality virtual learning system bringing the distant person into the classroom remotely. Examples of usage are teachers sharing classroom instruction, teachers and students sharing project-based learning, and students sharing internship experiences, said District Superintendent Mark Daniel. Daniel said the virtual classrooms would be available for all staff to use. The software detects activity with high precision, said Daniel, even zooming in on students as they ask questions. I've been talking to a few teachers who are very excited about this. Their minds are racing about the chance to connect with other districts and teachers, said Daniel. The board also approved an amended budget for the 2016-17 school year, which ends June 30th. The budget shows a $5.5 million collective deficit in the transportation and education funds, much of which comes from a lack of payments from the state. In addition to general state aid, districts receive four categorical payments each year from the state to help pay for transportation and special education costs. Unit 5 has only received one payment this year, and the state is $8.1 million behind to the district. There is a chance a second payment could come through by June 30th, but Unit 5 business manager Marty Hickman said he is not optimistic. The board also renewed district insurance policies through Wright Specialty Insurance, Allied World National Assurance, ACE, Travelers, and AIG. The new plans cover property, general liability, crime, boiler and machinery, auto, an umbrella policy, and several individual liability policies. The annual premium for the total 2017-18 policy would be $1.2 million, an increase of 7.42%, or $83,857, from the expiring premiums. A package renewal was also approved for workers' compensation coverage with Safety National. The annual premium will be $92,169 and 1.9% less, or $1,765 less, than last year's plan. The district will pay Cannon Cochran Management Services $13,000 a year as the third-party administrator for claims. And here's an item from the Daily Digest entitled, Yard Smart Garden Walk Set June 24th. Normal. The Ecology Action Center, Normal, will hold its Yard Smart Garden Walk from 9 a.m. to noon on June 24th. The free event features gardens that protect the environment, create a healthy and inviting space, and use little or no synthetic chemicals. A lunch and presentation will follow. Krista Kirkham with the Nature Conservancy will speak about water issues in McLean County and methods for water and watershed conservation. This event includes a McLean County Free Cycle plant and garden tool exchange. A $5 donation is requested to offset the cost of lunch. Water will be provided, and participants should bring their own reusable water bottles. Register by June 20th at ecologyactioncenter.org or 309-454-3169, extension 15. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for June 15th. Please stay tuned.